Our scripture reading for this morning is the gospel reading for this past Sunday, the second Sunday in Trinity, taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 14th chapter. Then Jesus said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused.' And another said, 'I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused.' Still another said, 'I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So that master came and reported these things to his master. That servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper.' These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Many years ago, when I was a pastor in Florida, there was a woman from my congregation who was a volunteer in the local hospital. And apparently, the owner of Tyson Chicken had his wife was in that hospital, and he wanted to show gratitude to all of these volunteers. So he invited them to his house for a beautiful supper one night, and it was quite an elaborate event. He sent a limousine around to pick them up. They were asked to dress in formal attire, and they came, and sure enough, on the deck of his gorgeous mansion, out on the edge of the beach, looking out over the Gulf of Mexico, he had nice tables set up with linen, everything else. And when it came time for the dinner to be brought to be served to them, here they came out, the servants came out and served them frozen Tyson dinners of chicken. She was a little let down, to say the least. She was expecting a little bit more than that. If you've ever been invited to a really nice banquet, a really nice feast, and had the pleasure of going to one, and especially one that's maybe in a special location or a special type of dinner, it can be really quite an event. The average cost of a wedding banquet today in the United States, they claim, is $26,000. Those of you with young children, get ready for that. Some of them can be pretty splashy. I've been to a few that are actually quite elaborate. Gone are the days of potlucks in the church basement. The Bible often uses imagery of banquets and feasts to depict for us what heaven is going to be like. And Jesus often likewise works that imagery into many of his parables and the things that he teaches to us about heaven and coming to heaven. The message here in this text and in this beautiful little story that Jesus tells is that God has invited us to this tremendous feast in the mansions of heaven. A feast that's beyond anything we could compare to in this life. And those who go out from our Heavenly Father to extend this invitation to people in the world, those who preach and proclaim His Word, are the messengers and the servants that bring this beautiful invitation to come to this feast that reaches us. This feast is really representative of the gospel, of what Christ has come to do for us. If you're invited to go to a great banquet, you're probably not asked to come and do work for it. You're a guest. Everything has been taken care of for you. That's a great picture of what heaven is like for us. The beautiful feast of salvation, of going to heaven someday, God doesn't ask you to do some work to make that happen. He's taken care of it all because of what His Son has come into this world to do. Not a single person in this sanctuary, certainly not the one talking to you today, has the right or deserves to be in that banquet hall someday because of the wickedness and sin in all of us. Not a single one of us deserve to go into the doors of that great hall. But God, because of his own Son, Jesus Christ, who he sent into this world, made sure to have every one of your sins and mine atoned for and paid for before his throne. And through the work of the Son of God, God now has forgiven you every one of your sins. And by faith in him, you now accept this beautiful invitation to come to heaven. And you have that to look forward to in your life. Notice that God says in this invitation, all things are now ready. He's really saying to us through the call of the gospel, even as I'm preaching to you today, come to heaven. I took care of all of it. It's all been done. There's nothing left to do. Your Savior has taken care of it for every one of you. It's all ready to go. Please, please come to my banquet. If you're like me, sometimes you maybe get an invitation to a certain event, and initially you're kind of excited about it, but then later on something else comes up on that same day, the exact same time, that maybe you'd like to go to a little more. And it kind of diminishes your desire to take up that first invitation. The same thing can happen to us in our lives when it comes to the gospel. Jesus depicts this very thing by the various excuses that are given by these three different categories of people. And it's interesting to note what these excuses are. They're not some elaborate, big, grandiose things, but they're rather mundane, regular things that take place in our day-to-day lives. One deals with property, somebody that's got to go take care of some property that they now own. Another one has to do with recently getting married and probably getting established in their home. And another one is just issues of work and employment. Now, these are all important things. In fact, the Bible has a lot to say about each one of those. They are wonderful, important things for us in our lives. And yet, they all pale in comparison to this beautiful banquet feast that our Lord has provided. But what Jesus is trying to show us in this little parable is that so often it's the routine, day-to-day things about our lives and making sure that everything in this life is taken care of. That's the stuff that can start to cloud our thinking and can start to cause us to move that invitation to heaven down the list of priorities a little bit in our lives. This little parable that Jesus is speaking takes place in my life every day. Every day. I am tempted to outwardly act as though I really care about this invitation and that I take it seriously. I get paid to stand in front of people and act like I take it seriously and to talk about it. But in my heart and in my mind is also the temptation to not really care about it, to not really be concerned about it, and to think that I've got a lot better things to be doing with my life. The context of this parable, where Jesus tells it, is very interesting. It's at a dinner feast. It's at a nice supper that he'd been invited to at the home of a Pharisee, one of the great prominent Jews in the community. The Jewish people of Jesus' day serve for us as a very prime example of what can happen. They had had all the advantages from God. They had had the invitation sent to them regularly, you might say. The Messiah was supposed to come from them, Christ himself. They had the Word of God, the oracles of God. They had the prophets in their midst. They had the temple worship. They had all of the customs and the traditions of the church all around them. They had every possible advantage you could have. And yet, they fell away from the gospel. They started to think that the way they were going to get to heaven was by how good they were. And they didn't need this Savior. In essence, they rejected the invitation. And this is the stern warning that Jesus gives them and us. I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste of my supper. And we need to learn from this. We've had all of the advantage. Think of the advantages that you have had in your life to hear this invitation and to come to heaven. Just think of how much the Christian gospel has been present in your ears and in your life and around you. And so often, I know I am tempted to just start to take it for granted. God's invitation to us can sometimes start to slide down the list of our priorities. But our Lord continues to have a deep desire to get us into that banquet hall. He sends out the invitation frequently to us. He wants to fill all of the seats at his supper. And so he sends his servants out, go out into the highways and hedges, and I love this word, and compel them to come in. It's a Greek word like to be a magnet. Compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Those who at one time were invited but had resisted God's grace are going to now find that their seats at the banquet are replaced by others that might actually be kind of surprising. I end with an interesting story about a pastor in England by the name of Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon, back in the late 1800s, went to visit one of his members, a very, very wealthy woman, aristocrat. And he was talking to her. She was apparently at this time sick, and he was talking to her about this banquet of heaven that God had invited us to. And that in heaven, all of those sitting there will be equal in the seats before God. And she said to him, "Really? Are you telling me that I might have to sit next to my maid? I won't have to sit next to my maid, will I?" And he said to her, "No, ma'am, with that attitude, you don't have to worry about being at the supper." There may be some surprises for us when we get to heaven. There may be some people that we didn't expect to be there, who heard the same precious invitation and loved it and appreciated it and in faith cherished it. Let us make sure for ourselves, for each one of ourselves, that in our hearts, by the work of the Holy Spirit, we grab this invitation, we love it, and we hold on to it, and we consider it highly. We put it on our schedules as the most important event in our life to attend. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please rise. I invite you to take out your hymn book and turn to page 158. Page 158. And there you will find a prayer or the collect number 85. Let's pray this together in unison. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you that through your holy word, you have called us to your great supper, and we beseech you, enliven our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that we may not hear your word without fruit, but that we may prepare ourselves rightly for your kingdom, and not allow ourselves to be hindered by any worldly care. Through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.